Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Almost spilt, that's right. Almost knocked over my tropical coconut body armor light beverage. Not that I'm bitter about that. Oh, not the spilling of it. Because I feel like, frankly, I'm drinking suntan lotion. It's because Costco didn't have the Vita water that they normally have. What's up with Costco? Huh? What's up with... By the way, for whatever this is worth, I was at the Costco. Did I mention they didn't have my vitamin water? And had to settle for tropical coconut. What was the name of that? You see, when I was your age, we didn't put sunblock on. You put on oil that made you cook more. And it smelled like you were swimming in coconut milk. What was a sun, tropical sun? Do you remember the name? Jimmy, you're a sunbather.
Yeah, no. I don't remember the name of it.
Oh, it had that coconutty sort of smell. And that's what this tastes like. Did I mention they didn't have my vitamin water? So when I was walking into the place, the fellow handed me my mask and I said, I've got a question. There's not a mask mandate in the state of Georgia. Do you know in Costco, the authority in all things viral is going to stop with the mask business? And the dude was like, bro, when you leave, you can take it off. I'm standing here for 8 hours. Oh, I felt bad for him. I really did. Because, man, breathing that thing for 8 hours. Oofta. If you've got a gig like that, I struggle with those bad boys. And he said they plan on lifting it. When? Maybe the end of the year. Oh, okay. All righty then. So thanks a lot, Costco, for not having my vitamin water. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.com. 20 calories in this, Jimmy. 20 calories.
That's it.
I don't know why. It tells me that it has natural flavors.
I can't.
No sugar added. Low calorie. Tastes like suntan lotion. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org.
All right, we're going to start off with one from several people. We got several emails from a previous discussion you had about the doctrine of hell. You made this statement about a person's desire to be saved should be motivated by them wanting to go to heaven and be with Christ. And many are asking if it's wrong in the early stages of salvation if they're actually motivated more from a fear of hell.
Yeah, that's a... Let me just start with just a little bit of a warning for all of us on this particular issue that finds application in a lot of different ways. Watch your emotions. Be really careful about emotions. They're tricky little devils, and it is sometimes really hard to get a correct measurement of what it actually is. They can be so mingled. That's why we have so many words to describe different things. I mean, for depression alone, anxiety, worry wart, troubled, anxious. Wow, which one is it? Well, they all kind of have little shades. Why? Because emotions have shades. And while we want to make sure our emotions are right, first of all, there's only one way for that to happen. The more our brain is filled with truth, the more our heart will exude the right emotions. That's how you know that you're feeling right, because they are biblically informed feelings. Second, if you're trying, and in this instance, this is very important, to figure something out that has a spiritual implication, do it, but carefully. Don't become so intensely introspective that you become consumed with self. It's a recipe for disaster, and it happens a lot. It happens with people. Specifically, one of the ones that is the biggest one would be assurance. Am I saved? I don't feel saved. Today I feel saved, and I watch out for the feelings business. Yeah, you want to be mindful of them, but you can't interpret feelings. All you can do is interpret the Bible. Feelings get really, really messy. So be aware of them. Repent when needed, but don't get consumed by emotions. For instance, you commit a sin. Am I feeling godly sorrow, or am I just feeling worldly sorrow? Well, there's actually a way to figure that one out. By the way, 2 Corinthians 7 is helpful. If you've ever felt like, okay, you know what, I feel bad about what I did, but I'm not sure. It's like Psalm 51, against you and you only have I sinned. Am I really having godly sorrow? Because godly sorrow means I'm saved, but worldly sorrow means I'm like Esau or Judas Iscariot, and I don't want to be that. So then you dive into how am I feeling about feeling bad about my sins. And you just don't have any sort of measurement for that. The Bible just doesn't give it to you. If you really, really feel like this, or if you feel like this 80% and 20%, because it is actually okay to have some worldly sorrow in a sense that you don't like the consequences. Yeah, you're going to get put in jail. I'd feel badly about that too. But godly sorrow is something different. It's not horizontal, it's vertical. So what percentage do you have? Well, it's 55-45, I think. So I guess I got more godly sorrow than, and you're going to go bonkers. What is the marker to know that you're actually exhibiting godly sorrow? Action. You've sinned. You feel bad about it. Don't get too deep into your navel. You feel badly about it. I guess it would be bad. You feel bad about it because otherwise you just wouldn't be doing feeling well if it's bad. Lee, I'm sorry. I just got caught up in an adverbial swirl. But then you make it right. You fix it. You clean the slate. You make good. You, if you want to, pay a reparation to the individual that you've harmed. That's how you know you've got godly sorrow. It works its way out in action. Let's talk about salvation. I've made the claim, based on Romans chapter 2, it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Now, if we're not careful, we're going to go, okay, so the only feeling that I should have had when I got saved is I'm thinking about how kind God is. I'm not thinking about hell. I'm not thinking about the fear of the Lord. I'm just, all I felt was that God was really kind. Then I'm saved, right? Okay, careful. Hold it. This is where we start weighing emotions too much. Yes, you should feel bad about your sins. Yes, you should be scared of certain things. Yes, you should know lots of different thoughts running through your head when you get saved. But included in the package, and what I would say should be the primary motivator is, he's my life preserver. He's my savior. He rescued me. Can an individual who got saved have more than just a feeling of God's kindness? And the answer is yes. Of course you should be scared of hell. I'm not saying don't be afraid of hell, because I made the statement that it is the kindness of God that should lead you to repentance, that we should run to the Savior, not because we're afraid of hell, but because he's been so kind to save us from hell. But I do not mean that you shouldn't simultaneously also be afraid of hell. Because Jesus commands us to do what? Fear God. Because not only can he kill your body, but he can kill your body and cast your soul into hell. So yeah, that fear should be there. Oh, but look at how kind he is. And so it's a mingling. I believe that the predominant force, the emotion that we should possess predominantly, is the kindness of God. Now, here's where many of us fall into this navel-gazing ditch. Well, But okay, then how much does that weigh versus my fear of hell? Because I really had a fear of hell. Because yeah, I was glad about Jesus dying for me, but I was really kind of consumed with hell. All right, well, we don't have a scientific tool. We certainly don't have a biblical tool to measure what percentage you had at salvation. Don't get twisted into knots like that. It's good. Examine what were you feeling? What were you thinking? And I would suggest this. Let's just say you were terrified of hell and you heard about Jesus. And yeah, that made you glad in your heart. But let's just say, if we're going to use some sort of formula, you had 70% fear of hell and 30% the kindness of God. Does that mean you're not saved? No. What it means is you can ask the Lord to grow you in your love for him so that you do appreciate his kindness more and more and fear hell less and less. Please consider your emotions. It is important that we do so because emotions can be sinful, but we need to let the Bible guide us. And if we're not careful, we are going to fall into a never-ending swirl of examining our feelings, sensations, what was going on in our brain, to the point where you will lack assurance and joy. Measure emotions. Just do it biblically and very, very carefully. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for being here today on Wretched Radio. Are you getting the monthly Wretched newsletter? If you got to stop and think about it, then you're probably not, because if you were, you'd remember. The monthly Wretched newsletter comes to your email every month. Imagine that. And it covers tough theological issues and keeps you up to date on all things new at Wretched. Just go to wretched.org/newsletter to get signed up. That's wretched.org/newsletter. Not only are you going to get updates on all the things happening in Wretched, but you're also going to get thorough and in-depth messages on a wide range of theological issues. Plus, and this is probably the best part, you become eligible to win free stuff from Wretched just by being signed up for the monthly Wretched newsletter. It's free. We're not going to check your credit or anything invasive like that. All you have to do is just go to wretched.org and scroll all the way down to the bottom and click newsletter to get yourself signed up. Or you can do it the easy way by going to wretched.org/newsletter. That's my recommendation. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Yes, you want to save money because, after all, you're a Christian and that's what we want to do, save money, but never at the expense of our family's health and peace of mind should a family member fall ill. That is why I'd like to commend you MediShare, the gold standard of healthcare sharing. You will save, on average, $500 per month as a family. How much will you save? It takes 2 minutes. 844-34-BIBLE. And if you think, well, this isn't very good, you get free telehealth services with MediShare, a huge network of doctors with MediShare, and great customer support. And fellow Christians will pray for you. MediShare, 400,000 members strong. Peace of mind and savings. Simply call 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Like a lot of believers, you may be wondering how you can incorporate heartfelt worship into your private devotion times. Well, I want to introduce you to the newest resource available in the Wretched Store. It's called Face to Face, Praying the Scriptures for Intimate Worship, and it's by Dr. Kenneth Boa. Face to Face is perfect for anybody who wants to get more personal and more intimate in their private times with the Lord. And what better way to do that than actually praying God's Word back to Him? Face to Face will walk you through an accurate and biblical and intimate approach to doing just that. With prayers like, Blessed be your name. Lord God, forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to you. You change the times and the seasons. Prayers like these will bring richness to your devotion times by connecting God's word to your personal prayer time, and you'll learn to approach both in a new and meaningful way. Visit wretched.org/face to pick up your copy right now. wretched.org/face.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Friend of Sinners. While we were dead in our sins and condemned as enemies, Jesus bore our sins in himself so we could be reconciled to the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I knew it. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I found out the name of the suntan lotion that tastes like the Costco beverage that I'm currently drinking called Tropical Coconut Body Armor Light. L-Y-T-E. Liddy? Why did? What's wrong with light? L-I-G-H-T. Huh?
You know, I don't know.
Huh? What's the matter with these people with their marketing strategies? I know the name of the lotion.
What is it? You're gonna share it?
You don't know.
Is it
fine? Then I'll tell you after I Googled Hawaiian Tropic.
Is that the one with the little boy gets his with the dog or whatever?
No, that was what's her name. That was the that she's an actress woman who did stuff with Adam Sandler, I think. Welcome to Entertainment Tonight, the Clueless edition. Not Brooke Shields. She's got nice teeth. She's because she uses good toothpaste, apparently. No, it's the girl, and she was, you know,
yeah,
the suntan girl. And that would, but I don't think that was that might have been Hawaiian Tropic, and maybe. It could have been banana something or another. I don't know what it was, but it was not that. This stuff you would put on your body to increase the voltage that you got from the sun, presumably making you browner. Today we have like SPF 150, which I didn't know something could have more than what it can have at the max. But nevertheless, you got 150 SPF. This stuff was... How brown do you want to get in 5 minutes? And it was supposed to keep you from burning, but wow, did it make you look like you were a marshmallow that had been held over a fire for too long. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org.
All right. This one coming from Anonymous. He wants to know what it means. I guess it's a he. Wants to know what it means, what the Bible means.
So patriarchal. Well. I just assume. Sexist. Go ahead. Misogynist. Go ahead.
Wants to know what the Bible means by being loud in praise. He says he's the type of person that has disdain for loud voices. It sets his nerves on edge. So how should he think about it biblically?
Okay. I make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Shout to the Lord. All the earth let us sing. A Darlene Check song, even though she became a pastor. Do we have to be loud in worship for it to be pleasing to God? And I think the answer to that is no. Is loud worship pleasing to God? Sure, but loud music alone is not pleasing to God. If a congregation whose heart is far away from the Lord sings really loudly, and we're nothing. How's about the congregation? They're mumblers. They don't, but oh, their hearts are just filled with joy, or they are being repentant in their heart and they're singing to the Lord, but it's not very loud. Which do we think is more pleasing to God? Of course, it's the latter. Jesus said that the Lord seeks those who worship in spirit, truth, and volume. No. So make your best sound to God. That's what you should do. From a heart that is filled with the love of God in Christ Jesus. And we need to be so careful that we don't judge each other for that. We do, because let's when we think of spirit-filled worship, what do you think of? Loud, emotive, eyes closed. Hold on, that doesn't mean anything. Any of those externals can just be a show, or they can be just what we do. God desires you to worship because you want to worship him. And if it happens to be loud, cool. If it's expressive, well, just have some bumpers on that. But don't judge somebody who doesn't do it the way that you do it. And send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right. This one comes from Ellen. She wants to know what the difference between a heretic, a false teacher, and a pastor who just happens to get something wrong is.
Yeah, just that. Great. Heretic, false teacher, and a pastor who kind of biffs it on occasion. And it's not a heresy issue. Now, that would be a fallible man who can sometimes goof. And depending on what the goof is or how constant the goof is, most of it we just let go. What's a false teacher? It is one who teaches falsely. So by nature, they do have to be a heretic. that is somebody who is deceiving people because he himself is deceived. And so false teacher and heretic tend to go hand in hand. But that doesn't mean that a heretic is a false teacher, because if they're not trying to propagate it, they just happen to be a, you know, heretic, then they're not a false teacher. So a false teacher has to be a heretic, but a heretic doesn't have to be a false teacher. Want to read more? Check out 2 Peter chapter 3 mostly, and the entire book of Jude. Don't ask which chapter with that one. And you will see the descriptors of what makes a false teacher a false teacher. There's typically three things. Their motivations, I should say, for the false teacher. They want power. They like it. They like money. Or it's all about sensuality. And aren't we seeing a fair amount of that these days? Jimmy, I don't know if you get all the stories that I do about this teacher with the false teacher with pornography and another one having an affair with somebody in the church. And it's like, yikes.
Yeah. It's more and more rampant.
And Jude talks about that. That's one of the motivations of a false teacher. This is one more reason why, if your church has kind of a blasé attitude about theology and not wanting to have a robust statement of faith, you're just asking for danger, Will Robinson. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
Well, I've got another one from Anonymous, and I'm rightly assuming that this is a female lady. It's a tough one. She says that she struggled with blasphemous thoughts ever since she had a miscarriage about 5 years ago. And she hates it and prays for forgiveness often, but she questions her salvation as well because of her thoughts, and she was wanting some words of wisdom.
Yeah, these intruding thoughts, these uninvited nonsense ideas that come zinging through our brains. I get them. Jimmy gets a lot of them. You no doubt get them. I mean, it's like, where did that come from? I didn't want that. Okay, well, let's recognize that anything I do wrong, even a wrongly fired synapse, I'm going to take that. I'm going to own that. Lord, I'm sorry. I hate those thoughts. Thanks for your mercy. And then move on. Just move on. Move on. Take responsibility. It's sort of like bad dreams. Okay, there's things you can do to minimize or eliminate bad dreams. You know, what you eat before you go to bed, what you watch, what you read before you go to bed, what you've been thinking about all day will typically manifest itself in dreams. So if you're thinking godly thoughts, you'll have godly dreams mostly. But you wake up and it's like, oh, that was really sinful. All right, own it. I know it's a dream. It was just your brain going bing, ding, ding, but it's your brain. So I don't want to just put it into some limbo category. Well, yeah, it was sinful, but you know, I am not responsible for it. It was just synapses going kafritz. No, take it. Lord, I hate that. Please help me to do the right things so that I don't dream sinful things. And then go to work and just start serving the Lord. Don't let intruding thoughts, bad dreams, control your life. Now, this has been going on since a miscarriage. Is it directly related to that all the time? Might be. It could be something that you let, possibly, it let your flesh kind of go with a little bit. So you were sowing a little bit, you entertained it a bit, then you repented of it. Well, it could be that you've got some things sprouting up. But if you faithfully just repent to the Lord, thank him for his mercy, and start filling your head more and more with non-blasphemous thoughts, they're going to push, they just get shoved out. There's your brain is like one of those storage facilities. You go to rent it, and of course, you want the smallest one because, wow, those things are expensive. And you bring your stuff, and you can't fit it all in. Can you just smash more in? No, it's maximum capacity. Your brain is very similar. It's only got so much room for so much stuff. The more godly thoughts you have stuffed in there, there's room, no room for ungodly thoughts. That's the way that it works. I would also recommend this to this lady who is hurting. I'm sure you've brought this to the Lord. I'm sure you've laid this at his feet many, many times. Think about anything else in your life that maybe he's trying to work on. Is he maybe trying to drive you to your Bible more? To prayer more? examine those things, because even though they're streamer thoughts, even streamer thoughts do not happen outside of God's providence. These challenges, these struggles, they will either rub you raw or they will polish you up. It's between you and the Lord. I can't tell you. Nobody can tell you. You need to examine your heart. Ask the Lord to search your heart. See if there's any unconfessed sins. See where you're falling short, falling down, not taking advantage of the means of grace that God has provided for you so you can grow more and more in Him. Do a bit of self-examination, because you don't want to waste your blasphemous thoughts, because God will use them to grow you in ways that you probably aren't even thinking about for yourself right now. How do I know? Because our God is good, and He never does anything to His children. He only does things for His children. He is not a wicked physician. He's a good doctor. He's loving and He's caring, and He'll let hard things, difficult things, even wicked things, He'll let happen in our lives to disciple us. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm GB Hicks. Well, there's some big breakthrough news to start the day. A newly discovered ant is the first species in history to be given a scientific name ending with they, in a tribute to non-binary people. Yeah, this is actually real. The ant was discovered in Ecuador and has been given the name Stumigenes Ayres-They, with the they at the end being a celebration of gender diversity. This is absolutely a virtue signaling breakthrough. Well, in a virtual hearing on Wednesday, a federal judge granted Josh Duggar conditional release while he awaits trial on child pornography charges. His release restricts him to home confinement with the exception of church, medical, and legal appointments, and he can only see his children in the presence of his wife. He can have no contact with minors or access to internet-capable devices. His trial is set for early July, and if convicted, Duggar faces prison time of up to 20 years and fines up to $250,000 on each count. Well, under the Biden administration, the normalizing of homosexuality and transgenderism in the U.S. military is quickly growing. Within days of taking office, Biden had reversed Trump administration bans on transgender military service, and last Friday, a Navy intelligence officer tweeted a photo of the first ever all-gay U.S. Navy helicopter crew. The Washington Post has called Biden the most pro-LGBT president in our nation's history. Meanwhile, in Russia, military recruitment ads emphasize masculinity. Earlier this week, the Tennessee House passed a healthcare bill that will bar the prescription of cross-sex hormones to minors. Cross-sex hormones cause infertility, permanently halts natural puberty, and are linked to heart attacks and strokes. Tennessee would become the second state to prohibit cross-sex hormones for minors, following the lead of Arkansas. Similar bills are currently under consideration in Texas and Alabama. Well, a city councilor in Calgary has come out with the bizarre suggestion that someone who hosts a party that doesn't follow the strict Canadian COVID guidelines could be charged with manslaughter if a guest to the party gets sick and dies from COVID. And in response to the suggestion, Calgary Police Chief Mark Neufeld said that manslaughter charges don't line up with the Canadian Criminal Code, let alone the Constitution. Okay, question. If I speed in Canada and get pulled over, does the car get the ticket or do I? And in North Dakota, lawmakers have approved a bill barring publicly funded universities from partnering with organizations promoting abortion. The bill, SB 2030, is an appropriations bill, and it provides $11.15 million for a higher education matching grant program, but receiving the money is conditional on a public university affirming that it is not sponsoring, partnering with, applying for grants with, or promoting the performance of an abortion. And the bill will go to the governor to be signed into law. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is gospel. The Gospels are four complementary narrative accounts of the same story from a different perspective with a different emphasis. God delivers His timeless truth through a multitude of witnesses. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Emails, send your emails to idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy.
Yes.
Before you just jump right in here.
Okay.
might I please encourage you to go visit a website right now or to use your cellular device? I bet that's what Hank Hanegraaff calls his cell phone, his cellular device, because he never calls the Bible, he calls it the inscripturated word. Okay, it's the Bible and a cell phone. Use it, please, to get a hold of MediShare. Why? Because it is affordable biblical health sharing. If you're going bonkers with the cost of health insurance, and who isn't, frankly? This might be perfect for your family. You save, on average, $500 per month per family, and you have 400,000 other believers doing likewise. Sharing one another's medical burdens, praying for one another. And the good news is, it's just, they've been around so many years, and this isn't like some sort of snake oil sort of affair. No, really, this is a trustworthy, reliable way to make sure your family can be taken care of in case of an illness or an accident. It may not be right for your family, but it might. So use that inscripturated cellular phone device thing to call 1-844-34-BIBLE. 1-844-34-BIBLE. 2 minutes, they'll tell you what it is per month. Piece of cake. Or go to MediShare.com. MediShare.com/wretched. And please send your emails to idea@wretched.org. Okay, Jimmy, you can bust in.
Okay. All right.
Which then really isn't busting in because, you know, I just said you can.
You gave me permission.
Bust in. Can right. I sneak by you? No, it's too late. You just informed me of your strategy and your plan. You can't sneak by me because now I'm fully aware of your presence. So don't ask if you can sneak by me. Next time, either do it or don't. Sorry, we've all got picadillos. That would be one of mine.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. All right. From Kyla, she is wondering if it's appropriate for a female Christian counselor to counsel a man.
Yeah, I just don't think I don't think it's wise. Would I say that that's in violation of 1 Timothy 2? I don't, yeah, maybe because it's exercising authority, because counseling by nature, it does exercise some authority. The authority, of course, is the Bible. So that component exists. And so, yeah, I think it would be a violation of 1 Timothy 2:12. But I think there's also just a little bit of sanctified common sense that's involved in the dynamic between a man and a woman. And I'm not even talking about any sort of romantic interests here. I'm just talking about the dynamic, how a man receives information typically, how a man responds to teaching, whether it's male or female. And I also think understanding a man's heart for a man it's a benefit, but that doesn't mean that a man can't counsel a woman. Doesn't have to be a woman to do that, just needs to know his Bible really well. It's just a benefit. So for all of those reasons, I would say, I just think there's no. idea@wretched.org.
All right. This one comes from Rocky, who says his son says he's a Christian and loves Jesus, but he isn't sure that Jesus loves him back. And he's wanting some advice on how to help his son understand Jesus's love for him on a more personal level.
Spank him. Well, that's an option. I'm not saying you should exercise it. In fact, I would exercise a different option. Start with a longer view. Remember, biblical counseling, which it's kind of what we're talking about here. This is discipling. This is helping somebody with a struggle. I don't feel the way that I want to feel. I don't feel the way that I should reading God's promises about me. Okay, so you need some discipling. That's what biblical counseling is, by the way. And speaking of biblical counseling, if I could, if you are struggling with an emotional issue, anxiety, anger, whatever, it's an eating issue, you're perhaps hurting your body, and if you are willing to be a bit vulnerable, we're doing a TV series. It's going to be amazing on biblical counseling to show how it's done. And if you would be willing to be a little bit vulnerable, share your heart and what is going on, and be biblically counseled on TV, we would love it if you would contact us, especially if you're within driving distance of Atlanta. You're within a couple of hours, and you're willing to do this. You will learn much, and you will be helping so many folks. Would you be willing to do that? Simply visit wretched.org/tell them, Jimmy.
Casting.
That's the one right there. Just wanted to make sure you're on your toes. Wretched.org/casting. Wretched.org/casting. Biblical counseling is typically, by the way, did you know with biblical counseling, there's typically a 12-session plan? Unlike this open-ended, well, you'll just keep coming until maybe one day you walk out of here and don't need to pay a psychiatrist. No, it's 12 sessions typically because it follows biblically how to deal with issues. So, dad, see your son as needing some discipling. He's hurting. He needs to have his thinking corrected so that his emotions can be what God wants them to be, and that is joy-filled. Take a longer view and start practicing with him the means of grace that we see in Acts chapter 2. Be reading the Bible with him, be teaching him, and then be pressing him, be challenging him. Hey, when 1 John says, in this is love, not that we first loved God, but that he loved us. Are you included in that? And he gave his son as a... Here's how you can know that you're loved, son. Jesus proved it. He didn't just go, okay, I love you. He didn't just send you a Hallmark card. He died for you. You can know that he loves you. Somebody who hates you wouldn't die for you. It's only somebody who loves you. Let's memorize this verse. And then the next time you get that thought, let's remember this verse. And let's replace the lie that God doesn't love you with the truth of what the Bible says. And just keep it. Have him sit under good preaching. Let other men help you disciple him. Make sure that he is participating in the life of the church. Make sure that you are checking in and probing and digging down deep to see what's going on inside of that heart of his. And I believe you will see over time, as the lies are replaced with truth, your son will know the love of God in Christ Jesus. I might also just suggest this as an aside. There can be many reasons why somebody can't accept the love of God, if you will. Some people just don't feel lovable. Some people, perhaps, have been told they're not lovable. Or they've compared themselves to everybody on social media and they've determined, yuck, nobody could possibly. Or they perhaps, you need to find out, they've been abused. They feel dirty. They've done a sin that they can't imagine God would be willing to erase from their record book. Find out what's going on in his heart, because you might discover the reason for this. And then do all the other stuff. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is another one from Anonymous who wants to know how a young man can keep his ways pure.
Well, you quoted the Bible. I'd start right there. Here's a challenge to every guy who's struggling with prayer. I'm just gonna challenge you to do this. This is not the main thrust of the motivation for why you should keep your way pure. But if you struggle with porn, the next time you're tempted, do not fire up your computer or your phone. Just put it down. Pick up your Bible and read it. And you're thinking, but in the moment, I don't want to read it. Exactly. Your flesh is calling out to you. And if you feed it, you're sowing to your flesh. And you are going to be in a perpetual whirlwind of porn. And the next thing you know, you're going to be in the news for being that guy. Read your Bible. Pray. But it's really hard for me to focus. Read it. And you do that regularly and repeatedly, and you're going to discover something really odd. You're still going to have your zesty feelings because God has made those a part of who we are, but you're going to start aiming it in the right direction, and you're going to start stifling it when it's not appropriate. Increasingly, it's just going to happen to you. Why? Because you're sowing to the Spirit. And you're starving the flesh, and you're cutting it off, and it needs oxygen. And every time you let it happen, you fire up the internet, you play that fantasy in your brain, you keep your eyes locked on what you're looking at, you're just feeding the flesh. Starve it. Kill it. Fill your brain with Bible. It's a shame it happens, but it's a shame that the Bible, in a sense, has kind of almost become a cliche. You know, remember the story of the little boy who was called up for the Sunday for the sermon for the kids? Do we still do that? Do churches do that? I don't know. But at any rate, it used to be when the kids would come up front. And the pastor is showing the kids pictures. Does anybody know what this picture is, Jimmy? Well, it looks like a camel, but it's probably Jesus. Why? Because, you know, they just instilled it's Jesus is the right answer. And so often we talk about the Bible. The Bible is your solution. Get to the Bible. You got to be reading the Bible. That it's almost become like, yeah. No, no, no. That's where your power source is. Get it locked into your brain. Start rewriting the script. Get new software. Replace the wicked fleshly thoughts with spiritual holy thoughts. And increasingly, you will have less of the former and more of the latter. This is Wretched Radio.
Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed by the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
You know the worst part about moving? All of it, if you're actually the one doing the moving. But if you just happen to be a bystander to someone else who's moving, well, you could possibly wind up scoring big, and that's where you might be finding yourself right now. Because the Wretched Warehouse is moving later this year, and because we really don't want to lug a warehouse full of gospel booklets, you're going to have the chance to save big. All of our gospel booklets are on sale. That's Are You a Rotten Fish?, The Man Who Split Time?, 13 Reasons Not to Commit Suicide?, Don't Stub Your Toe?, and What Time is Purple? And our desire is for you to take these booklets and hand them out to everyone you know everywhere you go. We want to help you spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's priority number one. But if you can help us not break a sweat or break our backs during our upcoming move, well, that's just icing on the cake. Check out our gospel booklets on sale right now at the Wretched Store by visiting wretched.org. That's wretched.org.
What does a young lady experiencing a crisis pregnancy sound like?
I was afraid. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. Everybody wanted me to have an abortion.
Everybody wanted her to have an abortion, but she visited a preborn life center, saw a free ultrasound of her baby.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to be a great mom.
80% of the time, a woman in crisis sees an image of her child via a free ultrasound at a preborn center, they choose life. How many lives could you save per month? The answer is double. During the month of May, Preborn has received a generous gift of matching grants. Every dollar you give to Preborn will be matched. So $28 for an ultrasound will now provide 2 ultrasounds. How many lives could you save? Visit preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Job answers the question, why do the righteous suffer? When Job loses everything, his friends blame him. But when Job questions the Lord, he responds, God is sovereign and he is good. His ways are beyond our understanding. When you suffer, know that God is in control. He has his own purposes that you may not understand. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How can a young man keep his ways pure? Great question. A tiger has the answer. This is Wretched Radio. No, not me. I'm not a tiger. I'm a pussycat, which means I'm allergic to myself. Tim Challey's writing an article titled, It's Far Too Easy to Buy a Tiger. Might just help you if you struggle with sin. From our Canadian friend. who's probably sitting in his house right now because everybody has been locked in their home and cellophaned in. They are duct taped. They can't come out to play in Canada. He writes, there are a couple of problems with welcoming a tiger as a pet. You ever seen that? There's even, I think, like Netflix shows, people who own pet tigers. And then we read about these people in the news. Today, a man had his arm bitten off by his pet tiger. Shocked that this would happen. Shouldn't have been shocked. The first is that people welcome them into their homes when they're just little cubs. Tiny, helpless, dependent, adorable. Who hasn't at one time or another had their heartstrings tugged by the pitiful mewing and playful bouncing of a baby tiger? Second, tigers are undomesticated. They have not, over the course of many successive generations, been bred away from ferocity and toward docility. Though they may share ancestry with the common tabby, the family tree diverged. The best of them is just a few generations removed from the rainforest, from the natural setting where to survive they must be, in the words of the poet, red in tooth and claw. But not when they're cubs. You bring it in. Challies writes, welcoming a tiger into the home serves as an apt metaphor for welcoming a sin into your life. The sins you permit to enter the doors of your lives, often very small, far removed from sin in its full form, and as a day-old tiger is from its fully grown father. Yet, sins grow up, just like tigers do. They gain size, strength, ferocity, just as it does not take long for a 20-pound cub to grow into a 400-pound adult. It doesn't take long for a wandering eye to grow into adultery, for a grumbling heart to grow into theft, for an angry spirit to grow into murder. As a tiger cub is a ferocious predator in the making, what appears to be a mere peccadillo in its seed form will become a home-wrecking, life-altering act of depravity. Count on it. Now, maybe you're saying, well, that's kind of threatening. Yeah, it is, because we don't want to be naive about what we're doing. You don't want to entertain something and it turns into be a ferocious sin that devours you, wrecks your life, causes you to lose your job, your family, your kids, your reputation. Let's be wise about these things. But I would add this. There's just a better way. I'm telling you, the joys of denying flesh. How many times have we heard here on Wretched Radio from people, or perhaps you have had these sentiments yourself, I hate this sin, I hate it. Okay, Lord, help me to fight it, which, by the way, is a very passive prayer. There's nothing wrong with it. You can ask God for power, but he also tells you, get on it, mortify it, kill it, strangle it, cut it off, starve it, be holy, sow to the Spirit. Don't deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. You got to do stuff. Don't just, Lord, I don't want to watch porn again, so just tell me to not watch porn next time because I feel really, really bad. No. Kill it. Because it's better. And it feels better. Oh, I know why you watch porn, because you think it feels good. I'm telling you, it feels better to deny a sinful craving and to consume holiness. You will feel better. I promise you, because that's the way that it works. Tim Challies. And then there's the problem of domestication. The sins we permit into our lives appear to be harmless when we first usher them in and are easily convinced that we can contain them. Like no one welcomes a tiger into their home thinking it'll someday devour them. Nope, certain. Not my tiger. I've got a handle on this kitty cat. I'm just going to love it, and it'll be better. And in much the same way, a sinful heart is convinced it can look at those not quite pornographic pictures without being drawn into the full thing, that it can be emotionally attached to another person without eventually committing adultery, that it can dabble in gambling without going all in. The sinful heart, like the owning of the tiger, thinks it can contain the ferocity, that it can be the one who masters its strength, who subjugates its power, who persuades it to only go this far but no further. You're going to lose to a tiger. You're going to lose to sin. Challies, I wonder if the man who has welcomed a tiger into his home is truly surprised in that brief moment, seeing it pounce and feeling its teeth close around his neck. He brought it in. He raised it up. He saw it get big and strong and powerful. He saw its claws form and its teeth grow. He knew its craving for death, for blood, for meat. It should have been no surprise that one day it turned on him. For while he may have been its owner, he was never its master. We are never the masters of any sin. We introduce them to our lives on their terms, not on ours. Once we've welcomed them in, it is just a matter of time before they grow big enough to turn on us, big enough to kill us, and big enough to do what sin always does. Do not let a tiger into your life. Find the joy of barring the door and killing it if it comes in. And please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this next one comes from Cassandra, who says she gets very frustrated and quick to anger when people let her down, and she wants to be slower to anger. So how can she react better in those circumstances?
Let me just, Cassandra, join the club. Join the Pride Monster Club. That's the sin behind it, by the way. We think that we shouldn't be treated this way. We didn't deserve that. Somebody cut us off. They're rude. And how dare they say anything to upset the king? That's our wicked heart. And we all have that. Now, here's the great news. Oodles of hope. Oodles tons of hope. God can fix that inside of you. This, he's done it a billion times because he does this for every believer. Increasingly, he changes us, and he does it through a certain means. If your issue is anger, there are great biblical counseling books on anger. I think John MacArthur wrote a book. The one that's coming to mind is Angry No More. Or is it Angry About Nothing? Something like that. John MacArthur Anger. And what you might get is a lot of people complaining about John MacArthur, or you'll find the book. Either way, it will be interesting. Read it and apply it. Do it. You're going to have to go to war against this. You're going to have to replace those thoughts. By the way, you're not just going to kill those thoughts of anger. You're going to have to replace them with love. And that comes through one process only. It's called sanctification. You know that. But it happens faster the more we participate in it by doing what God tells us to do. So the next time somebody annoys you, stop and ask yourself a question. Why? What inside of me is causing me to be furious at this person for taking the last piece of chocolate cake? Why am I mad at this person? And it's not just that you'll be inclined to go, well, yeah, it's because they always take the last piece of cake. They always leave the crust at the end of the loaf for somebody else. They never take the crust. They always take the middle piece. No, that's not the examination. Why would I be so upset that I didn't get a piece of cake? Oh, I guess I think I deserve a piece of cake. Guess I need my thinking adjusted. I deserve wrath. Okay. Losing a piece of chocolate cake, not so much of a big deal. Examine your heart. Apply truth to lies. Confess your sins that are going inside of you and know that as you work synergistically with the Holy Spirit, you can overcome your anger problem. And hey, here's something that could really help. I'm telling you, get face-to-face at wretched.org/prayer or pray. wretched.org/pray. Face-to-face, praying the scriptures for intimate worship. You go and pray better, and it's going to help you. You will have longer. If you do each one of these, and by the way, let me just throw in this little caveat. This prayer book is brilliant because it leads you through adoration, confession, renewal, petition, intercession, affirmation, turn the page, thanksgiving, and a closing prayer. It can take you a long time to do it. And if on a particular day, time runs short because you spent a whole lot of time saying adoration and confession, I just got to blast through renewal and petition and intercession. I can't keep up with this thing. Don't do that. Let this tool serve you. Don't become a slave to a book and an outline for prayer. Let it serve you, and it will. And it will grow you so much because it's praying the Bible back to God. And you would be confessing things like this. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but you, Lord, you test the heart. And it encourages you to ask the Spirit to search your heart and reveal any areas of unconfessed sin. Acknowledge these to the Lord and thank Him for His forgiveness. Come on. That's like turbo fertilizer. Get your copy, Praying the Scriptures, face-to-face, wretched.org/pray, wretched.org/prayer. It is one of the means of grace that God will use to grow you like nobody's business, and you can have hope that His Word has power, and you do not have to continue being angry. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.